Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, May the 19th, and welcome to our commentary. You know, there is a very interesting story this weekend that I'm going to share with you, and that's about the Republican Party, because the Republican Party was founded 154 years ago, or 158 years ago, in Wisconsin. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later. I have a post coming out on Sunday about that. But there's a couple of other stories I want to get into today. I also have a post this morning over at the American Thinker about the American news media and how more and more people are not trusting the media. Simply, they're not believing what they are reading or what they're watching. In fact, the Gallup organization does a poll or a study, I think it's every year, and they interview thousands of people. Their sample is fairly large. Larger than what you normally see in most of these head-to-head polls that we see on the news. And in this particular one, they asked the American people, do you believe what you're watching? And only 36% believe what they're watching. In other words, a large majority of Americans feel that the media has a political agenda, that there's something that they're trying to promote, and they're using the news to promote it. And of course, this has a terrible consequence in our democracy, because having an honest media, a media that will tell us the truth, a media that will investigate things, is something that is essential to a democracy. If you lose your media, in other words, if you lose the credibility of your newspapers, your democracy is in serious trouble, because you're not going to have somebody to challenge whatever the current president or the current party is proposing. So a news media that is honest and straightforward is an essential quality of a democracy. And right now, most Americans don't think we have that. Now, one of the reasons that they don't believe that we have an honest media is what we just learned a couple of days ago about Hunter Biden, the president's son. Now, Hunter Biden is under investigation, and we should let that investigation take place before we conclude guilt or innocence. That's going to happen eventually. Eventually, he's going to be found innocent, or he's going to be found guilty. But this story that I'm talking about broke in early October of the election. And it was a very important story. It was about whether or not Hunter Biden was using his father to gain influence or to make money. And there's even references in the story about giving the big man 10% of whatever they were making. Now, we don't know who the big man is. You can speculate all you want, but this is part of the article. All of this, as I say, was published in early October 2020, a month before the election. It was published by the New York Post. It was a very interesting story that got lots and lots of airtime, but it was immediately stopped. Facebook would not allow you to post anything about it. Twitter would not allow you to post anything about it. Other newspapers simply didn't pick up on the story. Most of the media simply said, this is Russian disinformation, and we're not going to follow it. We're not going to follow it. So the American people were never given an opportunity to learn what exactly was in that laptop that was picked up by the FBI or whatever. Now, we're going to find out eventually, but what if we find out, for example, that there was very negative information in that laptop about President Biden? Or that President Biden or his family benefited from some relationships with Ukraine. What if we find that out? I think that there's going to be even further drops in the trust in the media. So, I mean, I don't know how this is going to end, but I don't think it's going to end very well for the media. Because even if they find that Hunter Biden is completely innocent and they see no connection to the president, I think the American people deserved almost 2 years ago the opportunity to talk about this and have this discussed during the campaign. You may remember that this came up during one of the debates, and Joe Biden immediately classified all of this as Russian disinformation. This is a lie. Nothing is there. Well, then why did they shut down conversation about the article? I don't know. But I think the media is the big loser in this, and we will see what happens. But if you're wondering, and this is the point of my article at American Thinker today, my last paragraph, where I say, if you're wondering why many people have doubts about the 2020 election, if you're wondering why so many people have doubts, it is because of stories like this, where you can clearly see that the media was protecting Joe Biden, whether it was in this article they wouldn't publish, or whether it was, for example, allowing him to sit in the basement of his house and do a campaign from the basement of his house without having to answer questions, being protected by the staff, and so on. Now, we know why they were protecting him, because the staff was scared to death of putting him behind a microphone. We've seen some of that now that he's president. But the American people deserve better, and they didn't get it from the media in 2020. So keep an eye on this Hunter Biden story, because I think this is going to be huge over the next 6 to 9 months. Now, another story that's out there is the idea of a man swimming as a woman in a women's competition. This is the story, I think it's in the University of Penn, where a young man is swimming as a member of the women's team, and he's beating the girls, and he's, you know, resetting all the records and winning all the trophies. And of course, this is a travesty. This is a total travesty. This should not be allowed. Now, I am happy to report that many state legislatures like Texas have passed bills and, you know, have put into law here in Texas the idea that you have to play sports in whatever your biological gender is. So if you're born a girl, you're going to play with the girls. If you're born a guy, you're going to play with the guys. There's not going to be this switching back and forth of guys playing as girls, whether it's, whether it's whatever. And here in Texas, that's not going to happen. Many other states are following with the same idea. But this ought to be a national understanding. Again, this is just an example of how crazy the country has gotten. Not many years ago, it would have been inconceivable, absolutely inconceivable, for a man to play a sport or to swim in the girls' team and get away with it. You know, there would have been a total rejection of this. And yet today, this is defended as promoting LGBT or whatever. And I don't see it that way. I don't think this has anything to do with civil rights. This is simply common sense. A young man at age 21 in a sport like swimming is going to be bigger, and he's going to swim faster than a young woman. That's just common sense. There's not much more than that. And if you don't see it that way, frankly, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, all you have to do is look at boys at age 21 and look at girls at age 21. I'm talking about playing sports. Boys are bigger. They're stronger. Again, that's not discrimination. That's just biology. And we should respect that aspect of the female body and the male body, and they should not be competing against each other, because that just gives an advantage to the boys, as we are seeing in some of these competitions. It's insane. I don't know how else to tell you about it. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Republican Party. On Sunday, March the 20th, the Republican Party will celebrate 158 years as a political party. It was founded in Wisconsin on this day, or March 20th, 1854. And the Republican Party was originally, it made the transition from the Whig Party that was sort of fading, and it became the Republican Party. The Republican Party's original idea was that it was an anti-slavery party and wanted to oppose slavery and bringing slavery as more and more territories became states. That was the idea of the Republican Party. And if you know anything about American history, I'm sure you remember that the 1850s were a period of tremendous, tremendous political tension in the United States that eventually led to the Civil War. Now, the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln. And he, of course, is regarded as the best, or certainly among the top two presidents in American history. After that came a number of Republicans. The Republicans kind of dominated the presidency for much of the rest of the 19th century. And then into the 20th century, you had Teddy Roosevelt, probably one of the most famous Republicans. But then the Democrats kind of took over in the 30s because of the Great Depression. But then later in the 1950s, you had Eisenhower. And of course, later came Nixon, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, the second George Bush, and more recently here, Donald Trump. Now, along the way, some great Republicans have served in the Senate, like John McCain, for example. And there have been some great governors, Republican governors as well, over the years. And the Republican Party today, of course, is one of the two major parties in the United States. But it started in a little town in Wisconsin 150 years ago on March 20th, 1854. So we say happy number 168 to the GOP, the grand old party, as they like to call it. Let's remember a couple of people today. Wyatt Earp, you know, the famous cowboy, was born on this day in 1848. And one of the best major league players ever, Richie Ashburn, if you're a Phillies fan, you know who I'm talking about. He was born on this day in 1926, passed away in 1997. He was elected to the Hall of Fame shortly after he died. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Have a wonderful Saturday. And we'll talk tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to have a special show. We're going to be talking to my friend João Cerqueira from Portugal. And we're going to be talking about what's happening in Europe, his reaction to what's happening in Europe with Ukraine, and a few other things having to do with Europe. So tune in tomorrow, Sunday night, as we talk about this. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.